Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this very special broadcast. Since it is Friday, August the 2nd of the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is Usama Dakhtar with you from the state of Mississippi. With me, Brother Paul from Rochester, New York. Hello, Brother Paul, and how are you?
Enjoying a nice hot day.
With us also as well, Sister Christy Johnson from Missouri. Hello, Sister Christy.
Hello, Usama and Paul. It's great to be here today.
Well, I know we have lots of material, things going around the whole world with Islam. So let's start with what's happening here in the USA.
Todd Bensman revealed the names of Jordanian illegal immigrants that attacked Guantanamo, the military base. The names that we're talking about are the names the Biden administration had hidden previously. This attack had happened on May 3rd, and because of the relentless work of Todd Bensman and the Center for Immigration Studies, we now know that Hassan Y. Hamdan and Mohammed K. Dabous were the two attackers. On May 3rd, they tried to ram a truck into the military base in Virginia. While one Jordanian illegally crossed the border a month before the incident, the other reportedly overstayed a student visa he'd been issued but never used. Both men were charged in the U.S. Eastern District of Virginia's Alexandria Courthouse with Class B misdemeanors for allegedly trespassing on a military facility, charges which carry up to 6 months in prison and a $5,000 fine. Both men evidently were held by ICE until about the final week of July, when they agreed to certain conditions for their releases, that they show up for all upcoming immigration proceedings and stay away from Guantanamo or other military installations. They're likely free now. Usama, what do you think they'll do next?
I don't know. Maybe we should give them a good vacation in Disney World or, I don't know, some other island. And we have lots of places for them to have fun. And that is a problem I have, Christy. These are Muslims who are here illegally, who are committing a crime, should be punished with much greater than just nothing. What do you think of that, Christy?
Well, when I heard about this attack, it was being spoken of as a couple of guys with a truck ramming into the fencing and the protective gates of a military base. This is like terrorism, and there could have been much worse consequences. This whole thing stinks, in my opinion. It shows the lack of concern about the safety of our guys in this military base.
This actually is a great evidence of the weakness of Biden and Kamala Harris. And I do not know, Paul, do you think we should have four more years of that level of stupidity of allowing the Muslim to do whatever they want in America and there is no punishment whatsoever?
I'm to the point where I think, well, Biden should be removed for Amendment 25. And Amendment 25, Kamala incompetent. The trouble is that you would have to appoint the Speaker of the House as president. But I think that absolutely has to be done, considering they're freeing all the dangerous people or allowing them to survive.
Let's move on, Brother Paul, to the next story, which comes to us from New York.
The New York Post said on July 31st that President Biden has negotiated a plea deal for KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, to keep his life and not receive the death penalty for his role as the mastermind of 9/11. This deal includes allowing his two accomplices to live also. They were supposed to receive the death penalty along with KSM. Lawmakers are now slamming Biden's deal as an act of national disgrace and a total miscarriage of justice.
That is exactly how I can describe the last 3.5 years of everything that's happened in this country. Let me ask you a question, Christy. How many people died in September 11?
Well, close to 3,000.
Close to 3,000. And the mastermind, the architect of September 11, will live forever. Shame on every Democrat in this country who will not stand up with the families of the 3,000 people who died on September 11 to bring justice. This is very disgraceful and very shameful. I do not know what to say about that.
Well, I do want people to know that what we're seeing is continually that we're going to, oh, we're going to reduce a sentence and let them live in prison. Oh, yeah, maybe they'll be in there the whole life. Well, they'll be recruiting and influencing other inmates while they're in prison.
Christy, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, if he is right now in some court in the Middle East, in my home country, for example, Egypt, he will not live more than maybe a week or 10 days and he'll be dead. That means he should be dead long time ago. We're talking about over 20 years. This is so sick. Let's move on, Brother Paul, to our next story from the United States.
Israel National News pointed out that the U.S. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, a Democrat from Michigan, condemned Israel's assassination of Hezbollah's second highest ranking official, Fuad Shukr, in an airstrike in a suburb of Beirut on Tuesday night. Tlaib wrote on an Instagram post that this is exactly what the genocidal maniac Netanyahu and the majority of Israeli officials want. They want a full-blown regional war, and guess what? It will be American dollars funding this expansion of genocidal war. We must stop this madness now. More innocent lives will be killed. Users on social media know that Tlaib had not condemned the Majd al-Shams massacre, in which 12 Druze children were murdered in a Hezbollah rocket attack on Saturday. The massacre for which Shukr was responsible was the catalyst for Israel's assassination of him. Tlaib's statement omitted the fact that Fuad Shukr was on the FBI's most wanted list, and the U.S. government had placed a $5 million bounty on his head for his role in the 1983 bombing in Beirut that killed 241 American servicemen. This means 241 servicemen have less value to her than one jihadi. Usama, isn't that a violation of her oath?
If you look at her oath from American ideology, but her oath on the Quran as a congresswoman for Michigan, she's doing exactly what Allah would have asked her to do. That's why she is in that position in such time as that. She does not care how many infidel or how many Druze is killed by the Muslims, but she cares so much of the killing of one Muslim, because that is a Sharia, Paul. That is Islam, Christy. The blood of the Muslims cannot be shed except in three cases. That is the killing of another Muslim, and Fuad Shukr did not kill any Muslim. He killed a bunch of Druze, bunch of infidels, so that's not the case. Or in the case of committing adultery, or obviously in the case of apostating, leaving Islam. Therefore, Sharia forbade any Israeli or any American to kill Mr. Fuad Shukr. You and I look at him as a terrorist, but she look at him as a good Muslim brother. And that is a reality for every Muslim man and woman we would put in power in this land. An oath is given on the Quran. It is for the Muslim world, not for America. What do you think about that, Christy?
Well, you know, in 1983, this bombing in Beirut, killing Marines, 241. We have been wanting to get this guy all this time. And now she's trying to say, oh, yes, oh, Israel went after him because some bomb landed there. But it doesn't matter. This guy is a terrorist, and we have been wanting him to be out of the way for a very long time. Congratulations, Israel, for taking care of this terrorist.
And you know what, Christy and Paul, I believe the United States of America needed to send to Israel not $5 million, but at least $5 billion as a reward to thank them for taking off that jihadi Fuad Shukr from this world. Let's move on, Brother Paul, to the next story, which comes to us from the UK.
The Salisbury Journal reports that a UK Muslim charity has concerns about a mosque brawl, which led to the arrest of three men. According to the journal, on July 26, Salisbury Mosque had members disrupted by a brawl inside the mosque. Worshippers and members of the public were disrupted by a brawl inside. While the time is not stated, this likely took place on Friday at their gathering, which is around noon. More than a dozen police officers swarmed the area, responding to a disorder, and arrested three men. All three men were released, having no charges pending. Mohammed Kober Ula, also known as Kobe, serves as the general secretary of the Salisbury Muslim Association. He said he was deeply concerned about the incident and the disruption it caused. Kobe added, "This incident was completely unacceptable. We've taken immediate action to ensure everyone's safety and protect them from any further disruptions. As with any place place of worship. The mosque must remain peaceful.
How can the mosque be a place of peace when they teach nothing about peace in the Quran or the saying of Muhammad? You know what's amazing, Christy? I believe this is going to be in every mosque all over the world. Why? Because you're talking about Muslim Shia, Muslim Sunni, which normally in the Muslim world, they like to bomb each other's mosque and they like to kill each other and drink each other's blood. But you see them in Europe and you see them in America, all united, holding hand, and sing the Kumbaya prayer of Islam. I believe the day is coming and the real Islam will show up. What you see Muslims have practiced for the last 1400 years in the Muslim world, it will be the norm in the West. Am I right about that, Christy?
Yes, I think that you are, Usama. And we've talked about this in the past, that it's very strange that we have Nation of Islam mosques that are now welcoming in Pakistanis and Saudis and those from other Muslim countries that actually have nothing in common. The Lord only knows what's going to happen.
We just have to wait and see, I guess.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Well, Brother Paul, let's move on to the second story from the UK.
Well, Lisa Daftari's foreign desk shared that Anjum Chowdhury, who you know, was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum term of 28 years on Tuesday for directing a terrorist organization. Chowdhury was convicted alongside a Canadian co-defendant last week in London's Woolwich Crown Court of overseeing and recruiting for the banned jihadi group Al-Muhajirun, the immigrants. The 57-year-old preacher and lawyer, who was previously incarcerated for supporting the Islamic State, denied the charges against him and maintained that Al-Muhajirun, the immigrants, was no longer in existence. Prosecutors alleged Chowdhury took over the institution when its founder, Omar Bakri Muhammad, was imprisoned in Lebanon between 2014 and 2023.
And as you know, Christy, I have debated Anjum Chowdhury a good, 15 years ago or so, and the man does not know anything about Islam. I'm not kidding you. He did not even know what the word pray means in the Arabic language, which is the word Salah. The video is still available online as we have done the debate on APN. But here we go. You don't have to be a scholar of Islam to be a jihadi. You just have to be a Muslim. And that is the reality of the future of all Muslims here in America and around the world who know nothing about Islam.
Yeah, this is a guy who did an interview talking about how Islam would be taking over Britain and how he intended to see that Sharia was practiced. All of these things that he said, just like you have said, Usama, he doesn't really know Islam. He doesn't speak Arabic. And when we see this coming out of this guy, and then we realize, hey, he's supposed to be a harmless guy who just wants Islam to be there there and everybody to embrace it. No, he's a part of a terrorist plot and organization.
Sure. Here is one down in England. We're talking about a few hundred thousand more like him. I don't know how can I even say to England, congratulations, when in reality, they did nothing. Taking one off the streets of England equal nothing because there are a few hundred thousand like him all over their land. Move on, Brother Paul, to the next story, which comes to us from the country of France.
Many defenders of Islam's growing presence in the West say that moderate Islam needs to be promoted, while radical Islam needs to be fought. However, one French journalist has now written a book, At the Heart of French Islam, 3 years of infiltration into 70 mosques, about his experiences posing as a Muslim convert for 3 years and various experiences he had with moderate imams. His book shows that even with these imams, which did not operate in any of the so-called radical mosques, that the most brutal precepts of the Quran are transmitted literally, but often with a smile. The journalist said that what is striking is the difference between the often affable, smiling, and friendly demeanor of religious authorities in the mosque and the message they deliver in private. It's never hate speech, except perhaps against homosexuality. It's radicalism uttered kindly, he writes. Notably, these more controversial statements come about in private conversations and are not openly preached at sermons. Public discourse is a much more controlled thing because there is always the threat of expulsion, he said. There can be, for instance, consequences for anti-Republican statements from Iman, including monitoring from secret services.
It's the truth. There is no moderate Islam, therefore there is no moderate Muslim. It is the biggest propaganda we've been hearing about, especially here in America lately, about the good Muslims versus the bad Muslims. Here is a man for 3 years been inside 70 mosques in France, and he discovered that fact on his own, as we have been teaching in our broadcast for more than 20 years.
Yeah, some of this reminds me of a series that was done in Britain called Undercover Mosque, where they had people go in, participate in the services in the mosque because they wanted to recruit them into Islam. And following them being in there, then they had their private conversations about when they invited a Christian speaker in there. They did it just to mock him and to mark Christians as infidels. It's just crazy. What they say in public and what they say in private are two different things.
Sure, because Muslims speak from both sides of their mouths. And my question is, do you think the liberal in America will figure this out before it's too late? Let's move on, Brother Paul, to Spain, where we have one story there.
Remix News reports that a manhunt is currently underway for an Algerian national suspected of murdering a 40-year-old Spanish man on Tuesday around 8:30 at night. Emergency responders were dispatched to the crime scene on the Moreas Bridge after two witnesses reported seeing a man have his throat cut with a large knife by the suspect. Police believe the alleged perpetrator to be a man of Algerian origin, while a second black man is also being sought in connection with the gruesome murder. Spanish media reported how youths gathered and took photographs of the practically decapitated body, which went viral on WhatsApp. Police then cordoned off the area to prevent traffic from crossing the bridge.
An Algerian beheading a Spanish guy?
Yes.
And I'm assuming, Christie, that he is a Muslim.
Well, this is what Muslims are known for.
So actually, from the fruit of his hand, we can assume that he's a Muslim. But so far, the article did not say he's a Muslim or not. So I think we have to wait on the story, Brother Paul, to find out if he is what we are assuming he is. Brother Paul, let's move on for the next story, which comes to us from Germany.
The Daily Mail reported that a leading youth charity is now warning that child refugees in Germany are being radicalized en masse, joining gangs and roaming the streets with knives at the age of 11. This Christian-run organization, Die Ark, the ARC, has 33 centers across Germany supporting over 7,000 children and young people from refugees and socially disadvantaged families. In an interview with Bild newspaper, spokesperson Wolfgang Buscher, who has worked for the NGO for 20 years, said that the continuing influx of refugees means Germany is now at a breaking point.
You know, Paul, this is exactly what I'm trying to warn the American people of. bringing refugees from the Muslim world to America. You may are doing a great job right now for only bringing few millions. What happened if we really, really open our country for the rest of the Muslim refugees of the world? You're talking about bringing to America 1 billion Muslims, because that's how many disadvantaged Muslims are in the world. How do you think we're going to handle that in America, Christy, where we cannot even take care of our own people, the poor of America?
Obviously, this Christian organization is trying to do what Christians are supposed to do, and that's help disadvantaged. But now they're seeing these kids are being radicalized. Well, they call it that. And they're joining gangs. And oh, by the way, using knives. Didn't we just have a story about a knife?
They already coming from a Muslim world. They're just going to join the mosque because that is the ultimate goal. Why we bring Muslims to America? Because we have few mosques built in America, and we're going to build even more to make sure that they grow up to be good Muslims with knives or with bombs.
That's the truth. And unfortunately, America is looking at the same problem coming soon. An overloaded social service system that's going to cost the taxpayers billions of dollars. And it is also going to cause crime and destruction of our society. If we don't learn a lesson, we're going to go the same path.
That is exactly what will happen in America in the near future. Well, Brother Paul, let's move to our last story for today, which comes to us from Israel.
Iran and Hamas announced early Wednesday that Ismail Haniyeh, the head of Hamas's political arm, had been assassinated in Tehran, the most senior leader of the terror group Hamas, to be killed since October 7th.
Well, I believe here's the truth. Muslims are evil. They have no problem to kill children or anybody in Israel. Doesn't matter, really. They are just lover of death. They are practicing Islam. And I also believe that the Jewish people have the right to defend themselves. And if you look at the reaction of Israel to the Muslim action, it is precise. They're killing the leaders who are responsible for the attacks on Israel. They're not doing what Muslims always do. Just throw a bomb somewhere to hit whatever it hit. That shows you that the Israeli are doing justifiable reaction to the savage Muslims' action in the land of Israel. Well, Brother Paul, Sister Christy, that will bring us to the end of our broadcast for today. Thank you, Brother Paul, for producing that show, and Christy for co-hosting that show with us today. God bless you all, and to our dear, wonderful audience, until we meet again in another broadcast. May the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.